This is an MPB Think Radio podcast.
Our goal at Everyday Tech is to keep your technology not only working, but working for you. I'm the host, Abram Naney, and you can join me and my friends Wednesday mornings at 10 on MPB Think Radio, or search Everyday Tech on your favorite podcasting app, or download the MPB Public Media app.
From MPB Think Radio, this is Fix It 101, the home improvement show to help you do it yourself. I'm Lacey Alexander, here with Pam Pybus, ASHI Certified Inspector at Inspect It Like a Girl. Licensed contractor Jeff Salmons from Houseworks is out this week. When it comes to home improvement and construction, there are many terms and phrases and words that can leave some people and projects lost in translation. Today, in between your home improvement questions and comments, we will help explain terms like flashing, pecs, and weep holes, Jermaine Flood's favorite word, to give a better understanding of your home. Join the conversation with us this morning. Send an email to fixit101@mpbonline.org. Just a little reminder that Fix It 101 re-airs every Saturday at 9 a.m. right before the Gestalt Gardener, which comes on at 10 a.m. Good morning and welcome back, Pam.
Thank you so much. I was trying to cough up a lung last week.
Yeah, right. Well, the seasons are in transition, and that's typically what comes with the springtime.
It was something. I'm here today, and I was able to get some sleep, and sorry I missed out last week after all that crazy weather.
And yeah, that was something. That was something, and it got sunny for a second, it got warm and pretty, and now it's cloudy and windy again outside. We can't win, can we?
Well, you know, and there were some folks without power for a minute. Mm-hmm. I had some inspections that had to get rescheduled because they didn't have power at the house for 48 hours. It stressed the infrastructure quite a bit.
Jeez, you know, I filled in for Coach Charlie last week, and he didn't have power at any of his businesses, at his home. It's like you take it for granted. You don't realize how badly you need power until you don't have it.
And even I had someone ask me the other day, they had a generator, but the generator ended up backfeeding into the house and killing a bunch of things. So,
oh, no.
You know, you have to make sure those are hooked up correctly.
See, I didn't even know that could happen.
Well, I didn't either, really, until she started asking me some questions. And the insurance company wasn't going to pay out because they said it was something wrong with the generator. So, you know, if you get those things, it goes back to what Jeff and I talk about all the time. You know, make sure that the stuff is put in correctly. You mm-hmm. can get the very best stuff, but if it's not installed right, you're going to end up paying a lot of money to get it fixed.
Oh, yeah. If that Mercedes-Benz is not put together right, it ain't running.
It's not, you know, it doesn't matter what the name on the label is. Right. If it's not done right, you're going to have a world of trouble.
See, when it comes to generators and stuff like that, that's a let me call my dad question.
Mm-hmm.
And it's about to be let me call Pam question because I didn't even know you could do that. I'm going to burn my house down one of these days, Pam.
I've tried to burn mine down. You're new, so you don't remember me telling about how I tried to burn mine down like 10 years ago.
Oh, Lord.
Yeah, it happens to the best of us. I mean, the fire department showed up and they said, aren't you a home inspector?
Yeah, seriously. Don't you have a whole radio show about how not to do this?
Shut up. Go in there and put the fire out.
Right. Don't talk to me. Right.
Yeah, no, I got a fire in my house when it's not time to talk about what I do for a living.
Chastise me later.
Yeah.
So this is all one big ad to hire Pam so that you don't set your house on fire. Get Pam to inspect your home for you.
Well, I have personal experience. I can tell you how not to do that.
So like I said in the intro, we traded Jeff for Pam. Pam was out last week. Now Jeff is out this week. That's just how it goes, folks. You can't have more
you
than
can't
a,
put us in the same room.
No,
on a
they'll
law.
Fight.
Yeah, we do. We arm wrestle until one person says uncle, and then he's on the boat. He ain't sick. He's down on Edna on the boat.
He did say he had some out of town business.
And if he's out of town, it's either a motorcycle or a boat.
That's what I'm saying. See, I just heart reacted to the text and moved on. You know, Jeff's got a busy life. He's got a busy job. There's no telling who he's helping out there. But in reality, that man on the beach. And don't let him tell you otherwise.
No, he's sitting on his boat, sipping his bourbon.
Yeah, right.
It's
sipping
5 o'clock somewhere.
Medicine.
Yeah, he's got his cough medicine on the boat.
Jeff, if you're listening, we love you. We hope you enjoy your week off. And you can tell us all about your quote-unquote out-of-town business when you come back.
When you get
week.
Back, yeah.
So the topic for today, Pam, is this show is honestly more for me than our listeners. It's really us going into terms and words and phrases maybe that we talk about on this show or on a contract or on an inspection, for example, that people just may not know what that word means. What was the last time, Pam, tell me a story that you really had to help someone understand some jargon or a phrase in home improvement?
Well, the big thing, and it's confusing. It would be like somebody talking to me about finance.
Sure. Sure.
I'm just going to give you a dumb blank stare because it's just not something that I'm versed in.
Same.
So I hire the professionals to take care of that.
Sure.
But what I started doing, I noticed when I started inspecting 20-something years ago that a picture is worth 1,000 words.
Sure.
So I went to a software that has a photograph. And so when you read my report, there's a photograph and then there's a sentence that tells you what's going on in the photograph.
Mm-hmm.
And I try not to use terms that I try to write my reports on a fourth grade level. So you can understand kind of what's going on. And we also, I put a lot of graphs in there too.
Sure.
This is what you've got and this is what it should look like.
Sure, sure. Yeah.
So there are definitely, because there are terms that folks are just not going to, they don't understand what's going on, but if I can show them a photograph, that helps a lot.
Oh, yeah. Sometimes you got to put your scripts in pictures.
Yes.
You really got to. See, people are visual learners, and there are shows where you and Jeff are in the room talking and exchanging words, and I'm just like a ping pong ball just watching with my eyes.
Yeah, the lingo.
Open.
Yeah. And we'll get lost. When we get around our professionals, we'll start, we get into our lingo language.
Yeah, right. Lingo language.
Our lingo language. And so we're talking basically in Chinese. So
right,
you just do not
right.
know.
That's your jargon.
Yeah. Man. Yeah. And sometimes we'll do that to just try to out impress each other.
just to show the other one up.
Yeah, who's got the best jargon?
Right. And I have no dog in that race, so I just sit back, play Wordle. Mm-hmm. I just let y'all go at it.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I apologize for both of us because we're just trying to out-impress each other.
Well, what always impresses me is when our callers come in and know exactly what y'all are talking about. And I'm like, wow, my listeners are smarter than me.
Well, and there, we are a generation of HDTV.
Sure, sure.
So we've been watching all of that. Now, I'm going to go ahead and tell you folks, if you get into a project, it don't look like it does on HDTV.
No.
It does not. No,
it doesn't.
There's a lot more going on there. They usually are cramming like several weeks into, hour.
Oh, yeah. And what always cracks me up about those shows is right before commercial break, they'll be like, I just don't know if we're going to be able to fix this.
Yeah, the crisis is right before commercial break.
Right, and then after the commercial break, they have magically fixed it, and there was stress for no reason.
Right, yeah. No.
But no, when you take on a home improvement project, I'm no expert like Pam, but I will tell you this, it is not like TV. You do not have a happy, smiling Southern white couple walking you through every step.
Mm-mm.
It is a lot more complicated than
it's
that.
Stressful. It's stressful. And I've said this on the show before, too. If you're going to get into a remodeling thing in a home that you're living
mm-hmm.
in, go ahead and hire the marriage counselor.
Shoot. Yeah. Absolutely.
Because it's stressful.
It's a money thing. It's
mm-hmm.
a hard labor thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's a how are we going to make up for this space we're losing thing. It's like remaking the kitchen sounds like a great idea, and then you realize I can't use my kitchen for like 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Or I'm going to mess something
or
up.
Or longer. And then you run into, and I'm working on, I do a lot of legal work as well, and I've got a case right now where a remodeler came in and they pulled the permit, but they never called for the inspections.
Oh, wow.
And so when I walked into the property, it was stunning.
Mm.
I mean, it was beautiful. I'm going to have to tear it all out.
No
all
way.
Of it. Yep.
Because they did it incorrectly?
Yes. Yes. There was so much wrong. In the middle of the project or right after they got started, they realized that the foundation was, there was some rotten wood in the foundation. It's
mm-hmm.
up on conventional.
Mm-hmm.
And so they pulled the floors up and, in quotes, I'm going to say repaired it.
Sure.
Never called for it to be inspected.
Sure.
And then put the floor back down. Well, they didn't finish out the plumbing correctly, which is in the crawl space.
Mm.
They did not weather barrier the wood that they used. They used untreated wood. And when I crawled underneath it the first time, I literally thought, I'm going to die. this house is going to fall on me.
Under this beautiful kitchen.
Under this beautiful, beautiful finished product.
Right. Yeah. That has to be destroyed.
And when you're doing a project like that, there's an order.
Sure.
That you do things.
Sure.
And so whenever you are doing a plumbing remodel, you have to stub out your plumbing in the wall. Mm. You can't do that after the wall's put up.
Yeah, right.
And that's what they tried to do.
Well, they always say that sometimes the money-saving thing will cost you more later.
It will. And if, you know, just make sure whoever your contractor is, that they're licensed, and also that permits. The reason we have permits are not to frustrate you.
Sure.
Not to make your life miserable, even though some contractors think it is.
Sure.
It's just to make sure that it's done correctly. Because if it's not done correctly, then you got a world of trouble.
And you're in for doing it again in a few weeks.
Yes.
Yeah. All that money. All that labor times two.
Well, in this case, it's probably going to be times three or four, and now it's going to be tied up in court because it's just turned into a mess.
Oh, Lord. I say this every show. I am renting forever.
Yeah.
Forever. Yeah.
Well, they're just, you know, there's just no shortcuts, folks. You really need to do it the right way.
No.
And one of the things that I'm doing now that I started because of this very reason is that I'll work with consumers. If they're going to get a remodel done, I'll work with them to help them procure the contractor, and then I'll follow all the work.
Mm-hmm.
I've got a case going on right now, not a case, but a client now who had a tree fall on his house.
Oh my goodness.
It was a mess.
Yeah.
And so I worked with him to get the insurance claim taken care of. And now as the builder is putting everything back together again, I'm going in and doing what's called phase inspections. So not only are they calling for code inspections from the municipality, but I'm going in and checking things as well.
Mm.
So he's got several sets of eyes on this total rebuild of his house, basically. They pretty much had to gut the thing and start over.
Ooh!
So
that's, you know, you already got a tree in your living room, and now you're being told all that.
Yeah, trees are, boy, I guess we found that out last week.
No kid.
They can do some damage. And
no,
especially now with the problems we've had with the bugs and the drought, the trees are just not very strong.
Mm-hmm.
So you put a wind on them like that, and yeah, they're coming down.
I stepped on a pine cone last week and scraped my knee because I tripped. Like, then that's a pine cone. That ain't even a whole tree.
It's not even a whole tree. Yeah, you'll know when a tree. Well, maybe you won't know if the tree hits you. One and done.
Well, we are talking about jargon, some words, some terms that we can hopefully educate you on and clarify for you today. When we will return, we'll share some of those terms, let you know what you should know in working on your home. Everything from weep holes to ridge vents. So stay tuned. Please join the conversation. Send an email to fixit101@mpbonline.org. You are listening to Fix It 101 on MPB Think Radio. I'm Lacey Alexander here with my friend Pam Pybus, ASHI certified inspector at Inspect It Like a Girl. Licensed contractor Jeff Salmons from Houseworks has left us alone. He doesn't like us anymore.
He's on the boat.
Jeff has decided he does not like. I'm just kidding. He'll be back next week. Join the conversation with us this morning. Let us know what you're working on. Let us know what terms you need some help explaining. We may be talking about something completely different than what you're working on, but if you have a home improvement question, regardless of what that question is, regardless of how it fills in with our topic, please give us a call. Pam's very nice. She'll tell you what you need to know.
Yeah, I'm very nice.
You are very nice. Or, of course, send an email to fixit101@mpbonline.org. So, like I said earlier, we are doing our show about, like, some terminology, some words you maybe haven't heard of, some jargon you'll hear some of your home improvement people say that you don't know what that means. So let's just do some flashcards, Pam.
Yeah, rapid fire. Give it to me.
Educate us on what an air gap is.
An air gap? I don't know. Are you talking about an air gap in plumbing?
Yes, or an air gap in plumbing.
Oh, that's where air gets in your line and you'll have shooting water coming out the faucet.
Lord, and how does that get fixed, Pam?
You can put a little, you can put an arrestor on wherever it's happening, or you can put an expansion tank on the, an expansion tank is like a bubble that goes on your water heater.
A bubble?
Mm-hmm, and it'll help with the air gaps. And a hammer. It'll boo, 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 boo.
And a hammer?
Yeah. you end up with a hammer in your water line.
Oh, I thought you meant you take a hammer to the air gap and fix it.
No, it's a hammer. Hammer water lines is where they're bumping in the wall, and it's usually because there's air in the line.
Sure. All right, Pam, tell us what an attic ventilator is.
A ventilator, that's that little hat that sits on your roof that's supposed to suck the hot air out.
So you say supposed to.
Yeah.
They don't always work.
It's a terrible idea.
Okay, why is it a terrible idea?
Yeah, because they'll break every 3 years. You're going to have to pay $700 to get it replaced.
Really?
Yeah.
So what do you do instead?
Well, you can put a turbine up there, and that's the little whirly birds. And just have your roofer pull that vent fan off of there. It's a motor. Who wants to put a motor in 140 degrees? It's not going to last.
Really?
Yeah, they're stupid. A vent fan is stupid.
Okay. So this is a very common term, but still, you never know who needs to hear it. Tell us what a baseboard is.
A baseboard?
Mm-hmm.
That's the stuff that trims out your floor.
Okay. And so it goes around the room where the wall meets the floor.
Right. And it covers the gap.
I got
so
you.
So it's just a purdy.
It's just a purdy.
And nothing structural about it. It's just a purdy.
Well, what happens if there's no baseboard? There's just a big old gap between your wall and your
Sometimes,
floor?
Sometimes, yeah. Yeah, there'll be a gap there. Because, you know, and I listened to the show last week, and Jeff was talking about these floating floors that you put down.
Mm-hmm.
If those floors don't have a gap at the edge, they'll start buckling.
Mm-hmm.
So you leave the gap, and then you put your trim boards down there.
Okay. All right.
Baseboard.
See? And I was like, oh, baseboard's easy. Everybody knows what baseboard is. I'm sitting there like, wow, Pam, that's cool.
And sometimes they call it cove base.
Oh, okay. All right.
Yeah, like the stuff that we have in commercial is rubber.
I gotcha.
That's what's going around the studio is this rubber stuff down there at the edge.
Did you see me look around like I didn't know what you were talking about?
Yeah,
to
look at it. It's the black stuff down there. It's called cove base.
Well, we got to soundproof the room, so we got to have some special stuff in here.
Yeah.
Marissa. Take us to the phone lines. We've got Neil in Mobile. He is on the line. Neil has a question about concrete rendering. Neil, thank you so much for calling this morning. You are on the air. What's going on?
Yeah, hi. Love the program. I listen a lot, which is great. I bought a house, mm-hmm. and it has a cement, has a concrete slab. It also has cement rendering on the inside of the walls. It's breeze block with cement rendering. And we've had just problems with condensation, and if you don't keep on top of it, you end up with problems with mold. And I've looked at various solutions, and they all seem to be just managing the problem rather than fixing it. And I'm just thinking maybe I should buy a different house. What do you think?
Yeah, that concrete block is gonna get some condensation on it. What's happening is that, and I'm gonna try to make this as simple as I can. You're in Mobile, so your dew point is way high. There's a lot of moisture in the air, and so what happens with the concrete is that it transfers. So you end up with condensation on the inside. And really the only thing, there are a couple of things that you could do, but it really boils down to your air conditioning system and drying the air as efficiently as you can on the interior. That's the only way that you're going to be able to do that. Because trying to block that, let's say you came in with some type of a wall, like paneling or something, all you're doing is now trapping the moisture between that wood paneling and the concrete block.
Mm-hmm.
I used to see this a lot down in Florida because they would build these cinder block houses. So, unfortunately, Neil, you may need to buy another house.
Yeah, that's what I figured. Either pay for dehumidifiers, all around the place, or just go somewhere else.
Yeah, you could talk to an HVAC tech about, depending on... Do you have just a conventional attic? You can get up in the attic?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. Where is your air conditioning system? Is it in a closet or is it up in the attic?
Currently, it's in a closet, but it's past its sell-by date, so we're going to replace it anyway.
That's what your problem is your air conditioner is probably beyond its capacity to be able to remove the humidity from the air. Air conditioners are dehumidifiers. It's basically what they are. And so if you're having a lot of problems with moisture, it really boils down to your air conditioning system. And then I talk about on the show all the time, you can put in an awesome system, but if your ductwork's not sealed up and your return is not sealed up, you're really not getting very good efficiency. So what you may want to do, since you've reached that point on putting in a new system, is hire an HVAC company that's going to come in and do what is called a manual J. And what that is calculations on the size of the house, the orientation north-south, the size of the windows, the types of windows, and they will size a system that is comparable to your home. Now, I'm going to reach back to a previous show when Timmy was on here with AC Remedies, and if I can remember him saying, if we can hold off on systems until 2025, they're going to come out with systems that have to be sized, and that ductwork is going to have to be redone to accommodate the size. And that may be something, if you could hold off until that time, you'll get a system that's going to be super efficient that will help get all that moisture out of the house.
That's a great idea, because it's only next year.
Yeah, it's just next year. Talk to whoever is your HVAC company down there or make some phone calls. I mean, if you've got some time. And this is always my recommendation, Neil, to folks that are dealing with air conditioning issues. You really want to deal with it when it's not a crisis.
Right.
Because once it reaches, let's say when your air goes out in August, you're paying premium to get that son of a gun fixed. Mm-hmm. But if you've got a system that's older than 10 years old, I'd go ahead and start pricing it and talking to people so that you're not caught off guard, and then have the work done in the winter whenever all the HVAC people are sitting around in the warehouse smoking cigarettes and playing cards.
Right.
Don't do it in November because they're all in the woods hunting. But, you know, you get it done. You get the work done whenever you can kind of get reasonable work on a reasonable price in reasonable climate conditions.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Hang on for the new efficient
HVAC
system.
I would. If it were me, if I were in your situation, I'd go ahead and start making the phone calls and getting the technicians over there and letting them take a look at it. And the ones who are kind of in the know for these new systems that are coming out. And I guarantee you there's a system out there that will be able to dry the air on the inside of that, you know, because they're going to look at, when they do that manual J, they're going to look at what your walls are made of.
Yeah. So it's called a manual J.
A manual J. That is the technical term for the, there you go, technical term for the sizing. And what they do is they do measurements, and it's a lot of math. That's why I don't do them. It's like I took the classes, and I was like, oh, my gosh, I'm going to fail this. I'm going to really do some damage. So I just never got into it and defer to the experts. But I bet if you did that by, you know, by this winter, you'd probably be able to buy that model and get a system in there that'll take care of the issues you're dealing with.
Okay, that's great. Thank you for your advice.
All right, Neil, thank you so much. Thank you for calling all the way from Mobile. We hope we helped you out today. Marissa, we've got another caller on the line that has been waiting patiently. Richard, all the way from Biloxi, Mississippi.
Biloxi.
Has been on the line for a while now, waiting patiently. Richard, thanks for waiting on us. What's going on this morning?
Thank you very much. Have a question. It's not necessarily a term question, but who do I need to get professional-wise is to replace a shower surround? I have a shower that has two glass sides, and it's ugly bronze. I guess it was put in back in the 60s, and all that bronze is peeling off, and I want to replace it. Can a plumber do that, or do I have to go to some other professional?
You know, I'm not sure a plumber would do something like that because it's not going to involve any of your fixtures. Richard, I'm going to tell you what I tell my friends whenever they ask me that question. If you're going to do the shower, why not do the whole bathroom? It's just money. It's only money.
Yeah.
But if all you wanted to do, if that's all you wanted to address, I would probably start at a big box store, take some photographs, take it to the contractor's desk and say, who do I get to help me with this?
Okay. Well, I'm going to replace the fixtures, too, because they're all the same ugly brass.
Right, right, yeah. Well, you know, in that case, you know, if you are looking at doing maybe a few updates and something like that, what I would do is start looking for a designer and get somebody to come in, and then the designers have contractors who work for them, and just interview several different people with the ideas that you're looking at and choose a designer that you feel comfortable with, and then let them bring in their contractors. And then what I would do is also hire a local home inspector to check the work before the final draw, just to make sure it's all done right.
Okay. All righty, thank you.
You're welcome. Good luck with your project.
All right, Richard, thank you so much for calling us. There you go, Pam. Some more terminology, big box store. Tell us what a big box store is. We gotta do it the old-fashioned way now.
Well, it's a store in a big box. What do you not understand, Lacey? There's a couple of them, name brands.
Sure.
So, if you go in, listen, they have, now, I'm going to be honest, I'm just, you know, as I am, you know, some of the folks that are in there, they really don't know. They're just an hourly job to them.
Sure.
But if you go to the people at the contractor's desk, usually those folks know. And then if you go back in where all the appliances are, those folks usually will know as well, and where the cabinets and stuff are. And my experience is, I did this years ago. I wanted to redo my kitchen and went in with a bunch of photographs, and they got a CAD, which is a computer program, mm-hmm. and regenerated my kitchen with some of the updates that I was interested in. Then I could add a visual of it.
Oh.
I'm not sure if they do that anymore, and I really like Jeff's suggestion to get a designer to come in and just kind of redesign the whole thing, because they have a world of experience. You know, I've been in and out of houses, thousands and thousands of houses in the Jackson metropolitan area over the last 20-something years. I have come back to my house with all kinds of ideas because
sure.
I've seen it. The consumer, usually, they don't have that experience going in and out of houses, so they mm-hmm. really don't know.
Sure.
So if you hired somebody that does that, like a designer, then they have experience with, well, the new trend is and the new color is, and a lot of people are doing this. And like one of the things that I've noticed that I think is kind of cool, you know, we went from gold fixtures back in the 60s to silver in the 80s to bronze in the 90s, and now we're going back to gold. I mean, it's crazy.
Who's going back to gold?
Well, I've seen it.
It ain't
in some
me.
Of these high, swanky-end kitchens and bathrooms that I've been in, they've gone back to gold. And I was like, okay.
Does it work? Is it clean? That's
yeah.
all I'm worried
well,
about.
Well, you know, a lot of people, they want the pretty.
Sure.
But let me go back to my case. You know, you can have it pretty, but if it's not put in right, That's the deal, folks. It's not HGTV. They're not going to, if they do it in 24 hours, you got problems.
You need to call somebody else.
Yeah, you need to, yeah, something. And also, I tell you what my dad used to say. He said, if they can come tomorrow, you don't want them.
It's true.
I want to be on somebody's waiting list.
Mm.
Like I've been waiting
true.
For some work to be done at my house, and I've been waiting, you know, 2, 3, 4 weeks. I'm fine with that. Take mm-hmm. all the time you need, and if you're busy, and then I also love Jeff's comment about ask the contractor for the client that they're working with now.
Yeah.
Give them a call.
Yeah.
How is it to work with those folks?
Sure. Give me a review. Give me a Yelp review.
Yeah.
When I was working in the food industry, we had a saying. It was cheap, good, and fast. Pick two. You can't have all three.
You can't have all three.
So it sounds like in the home world, fast is just already out.
Yeah, fast is just not good. There are some things that take time.
Yeah,
and you just need to have some patience. And I understand everybody thinks it's going to be an instant thing, but if you get instant, you got problems.
Yeah, there you go. Folks, we are having so much fun this morning. Pam and I really want to hear from you. We have some more lingo to discuss. Pam and I will also take a few email questions. So stay tuned. Join the conversation with us this morning. Tell us what you're working on. Send an email to fixit101@mpbonline.org. You are listening to Fix It 101 on MPB Think Radio, the home improvement show to help you do it yourself. I'm Lacey Alexander here with my friend Pam Pybus, ASHI Certified Inspector at Inspect It Like a Girl. Licensed contractor Jeff Salmons from Houseworks has left us to go play on a boat this week. If you have any issues you want to tell us over the phone, any projects you're working on, send an email to fixit101@mpbonline.org. Folks, we've been having a good show this morning talking about terms, terminology, jargon, words that you may hear a home inspector or a home improvement person or a contractor say that maybe you don't know about. I've been doing some flashcards with Pam, and the very first one, she was like, I don't know. So it's going really well.
You know, I learned very early on in my business, if I don't know, I don't know.
Yeah.
But I can find out.
There you go. That's what they told us when we were teaching. I worked for a camp one summer. Camp Counselor Lacey, if you can imagine.
Oh, wow.
And they told us in our training, if you don't know, find someone who does.
Mm-hmm.
Don't say the wrong thing to look smart in front
right.
of these kids.
Right,
like, if
yeah.
you don't know,
it'll catch
find
up.
Someone who
it
does.
Will catch up.
Right. Because you're just, for the sake of your pride, you are misinforming somebody. And
that's right.
Just not,
it's not good.
And it's good advice at all levels of life.
Well, I'll be doing a home inspection. I'll come across something. I'm like, I never seen that. I don't know. I remember whenever one of the funniest stories years ago, this has been 15, 18 years ago, is whenever they came out with these ranges that only work when you put the pot on them.
Mm.
And I stood there for the longest time. And finally, when the client showed up, I said, it's smarter than me. I have no idea how that works. And the agent, who is a friend of mine, she was like, oh, watch this. And she pulled the pan out and stuck it on it, and that son of a gun fired up. I was like, that's the coolest thing ever. And then when you took the pan off, it wasn't hot.
Huh.
It's called like a convection range or something. I don't know. But, you know, there are a lot of things out there that are smarter than me. Like all these appliances they're coming out with,
mm-hmm.
and I'll just put in the report the inspector was unable to get it to work.
The inspector has never had a touch activated oven before.
Yeah, the inspector just does not know. And I'll go home and, you know, thank goodness for Google. Google it and figure out what's going on, so I'll know the next time.
Well, some of this newer technology, it drives me crazy. My friend, she has a newer car that. Every time she stops, the engine cuts off.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And I know, I'm sure there is a very practical purpose behind it. I hate it. I hate that the car does that. I'm like, because I tell her, I'm like, Megan, if we need to drive away real fast, we're done. We can't escape the police if the car is going to cut off
the bank,
like this. Right.
So if you're robbing banks, you do not want
don't
that kind of...
get that automatic Jeep.
You don't want that car. There are, you know, the new appliances, the light fixtures, the light switches. There are so many automated things that are going into houses now.
Clap on.
Yeah.
Clap off.
Yeah.
Anyway, we got off track. But let's go ahead and take a few email questions while we're here, Pam. I have one specifically for you. And if you don't know what I'm talking about, we'll just email her back later. But this is from Cindy. She said, could Pam tell us more about the drainage project mentioned on the January 20th show? The pipe she mentioned is used instead of gravel.
She may be talking about the drainage piping that you can get at the big box store.
There you go.
And it's got, instead of using gravel around it, it's already got foam pellets in a cloth. And the only thing I will tell you about that, Cindy, is that if you're going to use that, you may need to make sure that it's all buried.
Hmm.
So on a French drain, you are digging down usually 3 feet, and it's a very narrow channel. And normally what you would want to do is to put some gravel down in the base of that and then drop the pipe and the gravel on top of it. This would be kind of a shortcut, and really the jury is out on that as far as I tried using it. I wasn't using it for a foundation drainage. I was using it because I have a landscaping bed. Mm-hmm. And I just wanted to make sure that the water wasn't going to be piling up against my retaining wall.
Sure.
So that's where I used it.
Okay.
So you can buy it. The store that I go to right off the interstate there in Madison, it's in the very back in the landscaping part area. And on the very back wall, they've got it back there. And you can buy it in tubes that are, I think they were 10-foot tubes. And you can connect them.
There you go. All right, Cindy, we got that. I was worried you were not going to know what I was talking about.
Well, it could very well be possible that I have not talked about what she was thinking. But that's what came to mind whenever she said the piping that didn't have to use the gravel.
Gotcha. Hopefully, Cindy, that answered your question. If not, shoot us another email, and I'll make sure Pam gets it right.
Yeah.
So one of your favorite things to talk about, this is from Sophie. Where should you place the carbon monoxide detectors if gas water tanks are in the attic?
You know, if they're in the attic, you're probably not going to have a problem. One of the things that I've seen in with these security systems that are professionally put in is that they'll put a carbon monoxide detector next to the water heater in the attic. So it's a professional installation. If you're buying the plug-in models, I have mine in my bedroom stuck on the outlets. Mm-hmm. And so it's got a battery backup, and it's also connected to the power source. And I personally like to have my carbon monoxide detectors near my sleeping areas.
Oh, okay. Gotcha. Because if you're asleep, you can't smell it, period.
You cannot smell it at all.
You want it to wake you up.
Yeah, and carbon monoxide poisoning, and I've said this before, is similar to the flu. It gives you a headache. You'll get nauseous. You'll get real lethargic. It's just flu symptoms. You don't get a fever. Mm-hmm. But everything else, pretty much the same. And it'll be hard to breathe. I think what we have in the South, really, our danger here is not necessarily that we're going to die from it. We're just going to wish we could die because we feel so bad from the carbon monoxide poisoning. And if what's going on right now, let me go ahead and mention this because of all the storms that we've had. The people are going to be getting roofs, new roofs, as a result of this storm that came through. When a roofer, and this is not against the roofing company, but when roofing companies are putting on a roof and you have gas appliances, they really don't care when they pull the flue up to flash around it and to put the roofing around it. They don't care if they hit the appliance when they put it back down.
Okay.
So 9 times out of 10, I can walk into an attic and go, oh, they got a new roof because the water heater flue is not connected anymore and the furnace flue is not connected anymore.
Right.
Well, now you're leaking carbon monoxide. And what's more important in an attic situation than carbon monoxide to me is that when you burn gas, you get water. So now you're pumping all this moisture up into your attic as well.
Sure.
So once you get your roof done, you may want to get up there and just make sure that those... And the flue is the metal pipe that is on top of the appliance. And you want to make sure that it is connected to the hood or the cap on the heater and the water heater.
Gotcha. All right, Pam, let's take one more email question. This is from Sharon. This one's a little bit longer, so bear with me.
Okay.
We have water leaking into a kitchen area from what our plumber says is a leak in the slab.
Ruh-roh.
It is coming from an area in the middle of the house, not near an outside wall, so we don't think it was from frozen pipes. He mentioned thermal imaging, but thought it might not be worth doing. We are in North Mississippi. Our house was built in 1987. He says he thinks our best option is to just repipe the whole house through the attic. Any suggestions before we commit to this?
You know, that's probably the solution.
Really?
If you've got, and the way that you know the difference between a sewer leak and a pressurized plumbing supply leak is your water bill's going to go up.
Mm-hmm.
And what you do to kind of diagnose that, if you can go out to your water meter, and when you pull the thing off the cap off of your water meter and look down, there's a little dial. It's a red dial. So it used to be a diamond, and now it looks like a little sun. And that thing spins whenever water is going into your system. It's coming from the municipal side to your house. If you turn everything off in the house, everything, all your water off, and you go out, what you want to do is you want to take a picture of the dial and then come back in 5 minutes and take another picture and compare those pictures. If the dial is moved, and there's also numbers on that, if the numbers have moved, that means that water is coming into the house with everything being off, which means you've got a leak somewhere.
Mm.
And it could be anything from a toilet valve that's not working right and there's water coming into the toilet to a slab leak. Once you end up with a slab leak, you pretty much just have to go through the attic.
Oh, wow.
There's just not another solution besides busting up the concrete. And talk about expensive.
Yeah. And talk about not being able to use certain parts of your house.
Yeah. You might as well at that point. I think the plumber's right, you know. I was talking to my plumber the other day. We offer sewer scopes, which is a camera that will go down into your sewer to see if there are any breaks. And we schedule those at the same time as our home inspections. And I recommend that if you have any type of foundation work done on your house and it's on a slab, go ahead and get the sewer line scoped. And what they do is they take a camera and put it down into the sewer line, and they can take a video of that thing to see if there are any breaks. Because once you start moving stuff in a slab, you could very well break your sewer line.
Mm.
And if you do that and you start leaking water,
you got a way bigger problem.
You've got a big problem. And at that point on a sewer line fix, you got to bust everything up. There's just no other way to do it.
Yeah.
But on a supply line, it is kind of nice because you can reroute everything through the attic. And in new construction now, there are very few water lines that go through the slab.
Gotcha.
Most of them are up in the attic.
Gotcha. Pam, we do have a phone call. You want to take a break or power through?
Let's power through. What
all
we got?
All right. We have our good buddy Kathleen in Osaka on the line. Kathleen says she's got a question about the commode in her home. Kathleen, welcome back. What's going on this morning?
Well, it's a funny story, but it's so apropos. I was laughing when y'all were talking about the plumbing and backing up.
Mm-hmm.
I had only moved out in this house, and this is 30 years ago, and didn't know anybody or the makeup of the land or whatever. Second day in the house, the downstairs commode is backing up.
Oh, wow.
So, of course, I still got my New Orleans voice. So, excuse me, I'd like to make an appointment so we can have, you know, and they don't do that. Because when I called, he goes, "Woohoo, darling." He says, "You got you a problem." He says, "Because it's Wednesday, and I don't know if it's a squirrel or dove season, and we all going to be out in the field to pretty much next Wednesday."
Yeah.
I said, "Well, what do I do?" He said, "Well, you get yourself a dustpan," and I had to decipher that dustpan, "and get in there and get your old broom and start sweeping it out and hum it out as far from the house as you can." And I said, "Well, when? You mean you can't come to Wednesday?" He said, "Oh, no. I'll be out in the field till Wednesday next." And I thought, there's a song. And don't laugh at me. Remember that old song, "Living on Tulsa Time"? Well, this is living on Osaka Time.
Yeah, absolutely.
And it was only one time, and it's like Osaka Time. It gets there when it gets there. And I'm looking at my husband at the time. And he says, "Well, I've got everything for you." He says, "But I got to go run an errand." I'm going, Yeah, right. left me with all the debris, so to speak.
Yeah, no kidding.
Not a happy camper coming from the city to this, and I'm going, how do I live here?
Right. Kathleen, you asked about three different dudes for help, and they all just shut you down, huh?
Yeah.
They're headed to the woods.
I handled it. Wasn't happy, so my husband probably wasn't happy for a while either. So, but this really happened.
Yeah.
One day I'll have to tell you all about the red beans and rice and the plumbing, but that's another tale for another day.
Yeah, I tell you what, backed up plumbing is just not fun.
No,
it is. It's just
that's why
know,
they didn't want to deal with it.
They did not want to deal with it. They did not. Well, and that goes back to my you know, and I've got a snake.
Mm-hmm.
Let's talk about terms.
Mm-hmm.
A snake is it's a metal contraption, and it's how would you describe that? It's a pole. It's a flimsy pole that you can stick down in your toilet and snake out and push down whatever, you know, whatever stuck in there. I don't know. Sometimes it's toys. I've seen that with people with children. I don't know why a child has to drop all their toys in the toilet, but they do. And so the only way to get it out is to push that out. Something that I do on a regular basis, and I've kind of gotten into this habit, every morning, I'm a nerd. I've got an older dog, so I started making my dog's food. Well, I get it out of the refrigerator. Well, I can't give the dog cold food. Mm-hmm. You know, you just can't do that. So I've got to give hot food or, I run the hot water and I turn it on in my sink and I leave it on for about 10 minutes. And what I'm doing is trying to flush my lines because my kitchen is the furthest thing from the feeder line that goes out to the street. And I've started doing that, and I haven't had any clogs. So I run that water till it gets hot, and then I get a little bit and put it on the dog food.
There you go.
But I'm washing my pipes out and trying to flush my pipes out every day.
Yeah.
Anyway, just a small thing that I do whenever I have a backup. So toilets are funny things, you know. You can only put so much down them before they just, like, stop.
Right. Well, Kathleen, next time you have an issue like that, do me a favor, call a woman. Call a female.
Yeah. Call a lady.
Let a girl fix it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let a girl fix it. Okay. Thank you.
Thanks, Kathleen.
Thank you, Kathleen. Always nice to talk to our buddy Kathleen in Osaka. She's always got something to cheer us up. Well, we've only got about 2 minutes left before we got to get out of here, Pam. Any final words, any final, you know, big terms you want to let us up on before we let you go today?
Well, you know, if you have a term, I'm trying to put it in layman's terms so that you can understand, but it's just like anything else. You know, and sometimes I just call it the doohickey.
The thingy.
The thingy.
The thingamabob.
The thingamabob. And it's cattywampus. That was one of my favorite terms for my mom. It just don't, and sometimes I just like, you know, that just doesn't look right. Something ain't right. Something's messed up.
I've gotten into the bad habit of calling everything a her. Like, I don't know what's wrong with her. Like, she don't look so good.
She don't look good.
And I'm talking about a shower. Mm-hmm. I'm like, that thing, she needs to be cleaned. Mm-hmm. She needs to be washed.
Mm-hmm.
And so whenever I don't know what something is, I'm like, what's that girl doing? People don't know what in the world I'm talking about.
Because it's always the lady's fault.
Right. Oh, hello. We need not only do we need the jargon show for home improvement jargon, we need the Lacey jargon show so people know what in the world I'm talking about.
Yeah. Well, you know, if you don't understand something, you know, it's so much better now, Lacey, than whenever I was a kid.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, because when I was a kid, there wasn't the internet.
So you couldn't Google.
I couldn't look something
what
up.
What are these kids talking about?
I had
about?
The encyclopedias.
Oh, Lord.
And who wants to look through those? That's a lot. That's a lot of reading to find what I want.
And especially, you didn't have a jargon encyclopedia.
No.
So if one of the cool kids walked up to you, Pam, and started trying to talk a little slang with you, you couldn't go on Urban Dictionary and figure it out.
And figure it out.
You just had to nod and smile.
Listen, when I was growing up, my dad was building houses. I used to just sit on the job site and listen to them.
Really?
And, you know, all the things that they would say. And I do that now. If a technician is on site, I want to find out and that happened the other day. There was this awesome, awesome foundation guy that met us at this project where we're having so many problems. And I just sat and talked to him for the longest time because he was talking about older houses and how they used to do things and... he taught me so much. So we just have some awesome professionals around, and they love sharing their information.
Yeah.
And so I'm always, like, asking as many questions as I can, especially folks who've been in the profession for a while. Jeff is a bevy of knowledge as well. So, you know, ask these people. They'll be happy to share their information with you.
Absolutely. Folks, we got to get out of here. Fix It 101 is a production of Mississippi Public Broadcasting Think Radio, funded by generous contributions from listeners like you. Our board op is Marissa Vaughn. Our call screener was Will Pickering. For Pam Pybus, I'm Lacey Alexander. Stay tuned for our Wednesday 10 a.m. program, Everyday Tech with Abram Nanny. Join us next Wednesday at 9 for Fix It 101, only right here on MPB Think Radio.
This is an MPB Think Radio podcast. To hear previous shows, visit mpbonline.org or download the MPB Public Radio app to listen on your iPhone or Android phone on demand.